Psalms this evening. Psalms chapter number 29. Psalms chapter number 29. I'd like to read a few verses here and then go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms chapter number 29. And we'll begin reading in verse number 4. The Bible says in Psalms 29 verse 4, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." And this evening I'd like to speak to you a little bit about the voice of the Lord. But first let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the service. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you this evening and we do want to thank you, want to praise you, Father, for your many blessings. We do want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sacrifice on the cross, Father, for the salvation that we have. Father, we do thank you for your word that you've given us perfectly preserved. And I pray now that you would just bless these services. Father, I thank you for this church and thank you for their faithfulness throughout the years. And I pray you just bless them as they continue to be a lighthouse in this community for you. Father, I do ask now that you would just bless the preaching, Father. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the words to say, Father. And we do pray above all that it would be the Lord Jesus Christ who receives all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory from these services. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray, who is worthy. Amen. Amen. So the voice of the Lord. We just read a few verses here talking about the power of the voice of the Lord. And in fact, in verse number 5 or in verse number 4, we read the voice of the Lord is powerful and full of majesty. Reading throughout this passage, reading throughout Scripture, you see that when the Lord speaks, things happen, and creation acts in obedience to the voice of the Lord. Often it obeys the Lord better than we do, doesn't it? You read through the Bible, you read back in Genesis 1 where the Lord said, "Let there be light." And what was the result? There was light. Didn't exist, but came into existence because the Lord commanded it to. Later on, we see the Lord commanded Balaam's donkey to speak, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said. There was no debate there. There was no discussion about, "Oh Lord, that's impossible, can't do that." The Lord said it, and it happened. And you're reading through the Scripture, we see that when the Lord speaks, man moves as well. But the question is, which way? Which way does man move? Do they move closer? Does man move closer to the Lord or further away from the Lord? Now, about two times in Scripture, we see the phrase, "heard the voice of the Lord." Like that, we see that phrase. And I'd like to look at those two examples this evening and just see the two times in Scripture where it says this phrase, "heard the voice of the Lord," and see what the result was, see what the reaction was on the part of man to hearing the voice of his Creator. Now, I think you have a pretty good idea where we're going to go for the first one, but let's just turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter number 3 this evening. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we'll read verses 8 and 9. Genesis 3, verse 8 and 9, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" So first of all, we see the voice of the Lord, it moved man to hide. It moved man to distance himself from the Lord. They moved away from the voice of the Lord out of shame, out of embarrassment in this particular case. It was sin that put distance, that created distance between them and their Heavenly Father. And that's right, we should be ashamed of our sin. But more than that, there are times when man moves away from the Lord, not necessarily because there is sin that's driving them away, but because, I'm too shy to speak for the Lord. I'm too shy to do what the Lord has told me to do. I can't speak up for Him. Well, we see examples in Scripture of people who tried to make that excuse, don't we? We see Jonah, we see Moses, we see Gideon, and we saw how it worked out for all of them. And in the end, guess what? They did exactly what the Lord wanted them to do at the end of the day, although there was a bit of an argument initially. When we hear the voice of the Lord say, "Speak up for me. Go talk to that person. Go give that person a tract." What is our reaction? Does it lead us to hiding? The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 46, "I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed." That reminds me of the apostles in the New Testament. Oh, they were not ashamed to speak up for the Lord. They went everywhere and preached the word of the Lord boldly to anyone who would listen. And it didn't care who was in front of them. It didn't matter who they were facing. They spoke boldly for the Lord. And if we turn over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Romans 1 verse 16, and the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And at the end of the day, why should he be? I mean, just like he said, it is the power of God unto salvation. It was that message that led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should he be ashamed of it? And more to the point, why should we be ashamed of the gospel this evening? Why should we be too ashamed to speak up for the Lord? And yet, sadly, many times we are, aren't we? Many times we come up with very creative, very good excuses as to why we can't do what the Lord has told us to do, why we can't speak when the Lord has told us to speak. Oh, we're good at coming up with excuses. We are good at telling the Lord why this is not a good time. We're good at telling the Lord why I just can't do it in this time, or why we are not the one for the job. We try to make excuses, but oftentimes, those excuses don't really hold much water at the end of the day, do they? Look over at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Bible says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner." And notice this next part. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Not only is he telling him, don't be ashamed, we've already read that a few times, but he takes it a step further. He tells him to be partaker of the afflictions. Be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. I mean, it has never been easy for the people of the Lord to do what he has told them to do. You read throughout the Old Testament, those prophets, they had it rough. Oh man, praise the Lord, we don't live in the same scenario as those guys. We don't go out and risk death or public execution for speaking on behalf of the Lord. But they went through it. That's always been the case for the followers of the Lord. And the Lord doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. He never promised that. He tells us from the get-go there are going to be some afflictions associated with doing his work. It's not always going to be easy. We're going to face some persecution, but at the end of the day, it's nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us on the cross, isn't it? And then in the very next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In one chapter, he's telling him to be partaker of the afflictions. Next chapter, he's telling him to endure hardness as a good soldier. In case the message wasn't clear, he's like, Timothy, this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be a cakewalk. You're going to be facing challenges. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't change the fact that the job needs to be done. Look over at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, we'll read verses 11 and 12 here. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. There's the reason right there that the apostles rejoiced when they suffered some shame for his name. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for their Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The Lord told us from the get-go it wasn't going to be easy living for Him, but at the end of the day, He didn't just save us to keep us out of hell, amen? He saved us and gave us a job to do. I mean, to put it in perspective, if you imagine, if you think about those military bands, right? Oh man, when they get out there, they're marching, they're playing, they look the part, they look spot on, and you would think that those guys are the best of the best at what they do, and they should be. But imagine then if word came down that the enemy's at the gates, we need everyone to move to the front now, and then you think those would be the first guys to respond, but then you look and you see they've left their instruments, they've abandoned everything, and they're heading for the hills. What is going on? That is not what they weren't trained to look the part. They weren't trained to just look good and perform well. They were trained to do one specific job. And that was to engage the enemy and be good soldiers for their country. And you would look at that and what would we call them? I mean, they're the ones who receive the training. They're the ones who are qualified. They're the ones who have all the qualifications. And yet if they were the first ones to run, we would look at them and we would probably think they were cowards, wouldn't we? And yet, when it comes to Christians, oh boy, we're very careful. We don't want to go that far, do we? There are so many Christians today. We want to look the part, right? We talk a good game and we say the right things. We say the right things. We make everyone think the right things. But at the end of the day, we aren't willing to go out and do our duty and do what the Lord has called us to do. We aren't willing to do the job, are we? Many times, sadly, that is the case. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Oftentimes, the Lord might allow certain persecution, certain troubles, certain sufferings, simply to draw us closer to Him, simply to grow us closer to Him. However, if we're too busy hiding when we hear the voice of the Lord, if we're too busy making excuses as to why we can't serve the Lord, we might miss out on a lot of blessings later on. We might miss out on some of that growth and some of that closeness with the Lord that we may have otherwise experienced. Look over at Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6. So we saw the voice of the Lord causes men to hide. However, thankfully, there's also another reaction that we see in Scripture. There is another response. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The voice of the Lord also causes men to volunteer. In this case, men also moved, but this time he moved closer to the Lord. He moved to volunteer for the job that the Lord had called him to do. We don't see here in this passage, we don't see any pause recorded. We don't see any debate recorded. We see the Lord asking the question, who shall I send? And Isaiah's response, here am I, send me. Me, 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 I'm the man for the job. Makes you think back to when Moses asked the question there, who is on the Lord's side? And then we had all the sons of Levi who raised their hands. And you know what? There were some things that they had to be willing to do, right? There were some things that the Lord was asking of them in order to show that they were indeed on the Lord's side. Look over at Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, and we'll read verses 26 to verse number 28. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet." And here we see about another example. We see Philip. We see earlier on in the chapter that he was busy serving the Lord. He was busy doing a great work that the Lord was doing there in the city of Samaria. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of that, the Lord came to Philip and said, "Arise and go." And again, what do we not see? We don't see Philip debating with the Lord here, saying, "But Lord, look at all I'm doing for you here. Lord, look how the work is proceeding here." No, the Lord said, "Arise and go." In verse number 27, it says, "He arose and he went. It didn't matter what he was currently doing. The Lord had a job for him. It didn't matter that he was already busy. The Lord had someone else he wanted him to speak to. And you know what Philip did? He rose and he went. And then you read down in verse number 29 and 30, "And the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" The Lord made it clear, "Philip, I need you to go talk to that guy." Philip didn't hesitate. He ran to go talk to him. He did not waste any time. He didn't risk missing out on this opportunity that the Lord had for him. Look over at Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 now. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest." The Lord made it clear. He told them there is a lot of work to do. The fields are white and ready unto harvest. However, they're missing laborers, missing people willing to actually do what the Lord has called them to do. And now, again, it may be easy to start making excuses. It's like, "Well, the Lord didn't call me to do this, this, or that." Nobody has called us to be a minister of the gospel. He has called us to preach. And you know what he said there in verse number 2? He said, "Pray ye." That is something that we can all do, regardless of qualification, regardless of any other circumstance in our life. We can pray. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray that the Lord would send laborers. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Praise the Lord. Not only did he save us, but he gave us a job to do. We were the ones of all the ways the Lord could have chosen to get out the gospel. He chose us. He chose us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We started out this point and we read in Isaiah 6 verse 8 where Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And if we read the very next verse, the Lord's response to Isaiah, "And he said, Go." And that was what the Lord told Isaiah after he made himself available. "Go and do what I've commanded you to do." Again, the Lord is not going to call everyone to a foreign field, but again, he has called us all to preach the gospel. There are unsaved souls right here in this community that need to hear about Jesus Christ and that need to be saved. Hey, here we go. This is the field. This is the field. Here are the laborers. There is work to do. So the question is, have we heard the voice of the Lord? Has the Lord spoken to us through his word? We say, "Oh, well, I haven't been hearing the voice of the Lord." Have we been listening for him? Have we been staying close to the Lord? Have we been staying in his word? Have we been where we need to be? Are we listening for the Lord? Are we reading his word? And when we do hear him, what is our response? Do we run and hide and make excuses? "Sorry, Lord, I can't do it. Sorry, Lord, I'm not the one for the job." Or do we be like Isaiah and volunteer, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me, I'll do it." So the voice of the Lord. And if you've already been, if you've been listening for the voice of the Lord, if you've been volunteering and been speaking to people about the Lord, then I just want to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing. And if there is someone maybe who hasn't, who has maybe been ignoring the voice of the Lord from time to time, the Lord's been laying people on our heart, laying someone on our heart that needs a tract, needs to be invited to church, whatever the case may be, and we've been making excuses to not do it, I would encourage you to reconsider and be like Isaiah, volunteer. You never know when will be the last opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Never know when the last opportunity will be to serve the Lord. As the poem says, one life soon passed, only that which is done for Christ will last. Amen. Let's pray.